Welcome back to The Wise Man's Page, the podcast where we read Patrick Rothfuss's The Wise Man's Fear page by page. This is page 81. "That's not a question," Aladdin said as he headed up a long, narrow flight of stairs. I fought back the urge to snap at him and took a deep breath instead. "Is it true you're teaching such a class?" "Yes." "Were you planning on including me?" Aladdin stopped and turned to face me on the stairway. He looked out of place in his dark master's robe. His hair was tousled and his face was too young, almost boyish. He stared at me for a long minute. He looked me up and down as if I were a horse he were thinking of betting on, or a side of beef he was considering selling by the pound. But that was nothing compared to when he met my eyes. For a heartbeat, it was simply unsettling. Then it almost felt like the light on the stairway grew dim, or that I was suddenly being thrust deep underwater and the pressure was keeping me from drawing a full breath. "Damn you, halfwit," I heard a familiar voice that seemed to be coming from a long way off. "If you're going catatonic again, have the decency to do it in Haven and save us the trouble of carting your foam-freckled carcass back there. Barring that, get to one side." Aladdin looked away from me, and suddenly everything was bright and clear again. I fought to keep from gasping in a lung full of air. Master Hem stomped down the stairs, shouldering Aladdin roughly to one side. When he saw me, he snorted. "Of course, the quarter wit is here too. Might I recommend a book for your perusal? It's a lovely piece of reading titled Hallways, Their Forms and Functions, a Primer for the Mentally Deficient." He glowered at me, and when I didn't immediately jump aside, he gave me an unpleasant smile. "Ah, but you're still banned from the archives, aren't you? Should I arrange to present the salient information in a form more suited to your kind? Perhaps a mummer's play or some manner of puppet show?" I stepped to one side and Hem stormed by, muttering to himself. Aladdin stared daggers into the other master's broad back. Only after Hem turned the corner did Aladdin's attention settle back on me. He sighed. "Perhaps it would be better if you pursued your other studies," Rolar Quoth. "Dal has a fondness for you, as does Kilvin. You seem to be progressing well with them." "But sir," I said, trying to keep the dismay out of my voice, "you're the one who sponsored my promotion to Rolar." And that's the page.
I'm Nick.
I'm Jordana.
I'm Jeremy.
I really love this scene. This is one of my favorite scenes in the whole sequence. Jordana, the title of the book that Hem makes up.
Did I read it wrong?
No, I just want to hear what your book says.
Oh, okay, sorry. Hallways, Their Forms and Function.
So there's an S?
Right, I pronounced the S, but there isn't one.
Oh, okay. I was curious. All right, we'll cut that.
I think there should be an S.
Well,
No.
I gotta say, I know I've been harping on about how maybe Hem has some basis for his opinion about Quoth, but he's real nasty here. He's real nasty to Aladdin, who is someone who probably is to be feared, honestly, unless maybe he doesn't believe in naming or something and he thinks that Aladdin is a total waste of space. But his insult game is strong.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's very, like, I don't know if witty is the right word, but they're not they're mean and they're bad, but they're not unintellectual.
Oh, no, they're very smart. They are witty. And like all really nasty insults, they're, you know, true. Like, they're cutting because they're true. Also, he tees up the double burn or the triple burn on Quoth, where he says, "I have a book for you to read," and then goes, "Oh, wait, you can't get into the archives. Oh, wait, you're Edema Ra. Maybe you'd like a puppet show." Like, nasty, awful stuff. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's not just mean and witty, but he's also racist.
Yeah, super racist. You know who he is? He's like the Charlie Kirk. He's the guy who's always like, "Yeah, debate me. I was the head of the debate team at Yale or whatever.
I think you're giving too much credit to Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk is dumb and him is smart.
No, I know. Well, like, that's what I mean. These guys who are all like, man, debate is the ultimate form of demonstrating your intelligence. Those people are dumb because there's no purpose to debate in real life. Like, you're never actually going to solve anything with a structured debate.
Yeah, I guess I don't see the connection there. But we also, Hem being mean doesn't just serve to remind us that Hem is a mean jerk, although he is, but it also gives us some idea of his relationship to Elladin, which we don't really know. You know, we don't really have a sense of how the other masters relate to Elladin or to each other in general, except for little interactions like this. And I think that he recognizes that Elladin is someone to be feared, and that's why he's mean to him. I think that in Hem's mind, you know, why do we allow this dangerous, half-cracked lunatic who has all this power to remain at the university? You know, why don't we just lock him up in Haven forever? He's, you know, he's dangerous.
Was it similar to his take on Quoth then? That Quoth is dangerous, undisciplined, shouldn't have been allowed into the university in the first place?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I think that that... Yeah, kind of, except that I don't think that that's how Hem feels about Quoth.
Between the two of them, but that even if Hem wasn't racist, it still wouldn't matter. He would still hate Quoth.
Yeah. He just hates Quoth.
He has so many similar to Elladin things.
Mm-hmm. Hem interrupts what seems to me to be the first time Quoth asks the right question, because Elladin stops
and he tests him.
He considers him, and it reminds me of that scene in Lord of the Rings where Gandalf gets really tall and goes, Bilbo Baggins, do not take me for some conjurer of cheap tricks. You know, where Quoth feels like he's deep underwater. Like, Elladin is, if he's not actually working juju, then he's actually bringing his force of personality to bear. Like, it's honesty in his eyes for the first time for Quoth, and Quoth is seeing something profound about him as Elladin is actually considering him.
Mm-hmm. So I think there's sympathy afoot.
Yeah, I feel like Elladin is like looking into his soul or something.
Do you literally? You think that's what's happening?
Yeah. I don't think it's like a metaphor for Elladin's strength of personality. I think Elladin is like literally doing magic.
Well, regardless, after the exchange with Hem, Elladin's countenance changes. He talks, maybe for the first time, like a teacher would talk to a student. He calls him Rillar Quoth, which I don't think he's ever called him. I don't think anyone calls him Rillar Quoth. And he talks about, you know, Dal has a fondness for you, as does Kilvin, which is fairly formal language. We've heard Elladin, you know, speak in truncations. You'd think Elladin would say, Dal likes you, Kilvin likes you too. Instead of, you seem to be progressing well with them, you'd think Elladin would say, they like you, you're doing well with them, go talk to them. But for some reason, his affect toward Quoth has changed.
I think it changed because, like, Hem made him, like, distracted from how he felt about... I think it's one of those things where, like, if you encounter someone who's really bugging you, and then you encounter something worse, suddenly that thing that was bugging you before isn't so bad.
I think he sees Quoth in a new light. I think it's possibly that, Jordan. I think that's an element of it, but I think that maybe seeing Hem abuse Quoth in the same way that Hem abuses him made him realize that Quoth and he maybe come from similar backgrounds. Maybe they're fighting similar structural obstacles, and maybe he sees Quoth suddenly not as, you know, an annoying know-it-all who is just trying to get his ear, but as someone who is trying to, maybe like Elladin, arm themselves against the world using their talents. Like, I think this is a pivotal moment in their relationship.
Well, if that is true, then Elladin's what Elladin says to him next is him trying to dissuade him from going down the path that Elladin went down, which does support my reading of Elladin as falling into the same archetype as Luke Skywalker in The Last Jedi, for example, the teacher who does not want to teach the obviously gifted student because it went really badly before and might go really badly again.
which is great, which I love. I think is a fantastic take. I wouldn't be surprised if that's why he's fond of Auri, because Auri was the student who it went bad with. Also, we saw Alder Wynn, mm-hmm. who was his giller, and that went real bad. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's a cycle. Maybe time and again, Elladin takes on a student thinking it'll be different this time, and time and again, it goes badly.
Yes, I think that is what is happening. I think that he just...
Well, the nature of naming is volatile, right? Like, we know that naming can mess you up pretty badly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... So the namers we have met seem pretty solid. I think it's less about naming, although Alder Wynn was a naming giller, right? It seems to be that, like, sympathy in particular is the thing that messes you up, because it takes a lot of mental power and messes with your grip on reality, because you have to believe that certain things are true that are patently not.
Yeah,
like,
why are all the masters so hesitant to teach the way that Elladin is?
Because not all of them are teaching the dangerous stuff. You know, Hem is basically just a...
Yeah, it's like Bradra just teaches English teacher. Like,
yeah.
I don't think it has anything to do with the subject they teach, and I think it has everything to do with Elladin's particular experience.
Yes.
Okay.
But I also think that, like, what happens here is that he just sort of gets interrupted by Hem, and then he goes, and then he sort of forgets exactly what he was doing with Quoth. I don't think that his last dialogue on the page has a different register than anything else he says. I don't feel like he's speaking more formally than he usually does.
I think that there's a small tone change, but not one that is terribly abrupt.
But I wonder what exactly happened between Elladin and Hem to earn this kind of enmity. I wonder if Hem
yes,
and
I want
Elladin,
that short story.
I wonder if Hem and Elladin have the same relationship that Quoth and Ambrose have.
Oh, could be, because Hem is, or Ambrose is apparently Hem's protege, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least he seems to hang around with him.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be. I think it also might be tied up in class. I think that Hem is extremely classist, and that's probably part of why he scorns Elladin, because I think he sees Elladin as upjumped.
Mm. Well, and Elladin certainly doesn't care about class. He walks around with no shoes on all the time.
Exactly. And it may also be why he's fond of Ambrose, who I don't think of a particularly strong rhetorician.
No, but he is rich and powerful.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've had a good read, and we can move on to one of the best scenes in the series.
All right.
Very well.
Get to it.
All right. I've been Nick.
I'm always Jordana.
I'm Jeremy.
And we've been Paige
of
the Wind.